Welcome to Reality of the Rose with your host, Natalie Sprink.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 113 of Reality of the Rose. I'm your host, Natalie Sprink. You guys, this was like epic. I absolutely enjoyed watching The Golden Bachelor so much that I am completely refreshed. I have a whole new outlook on this show in general. I think this is absolutely just what the franchise needed and wish they would have done it when they first started talking about it. Man, I just can't stay. I can't say enough good about it. I, from what I've heard from everybody else, podcasts, people that I know, I think everyone else is in agreement as well. So, man, it lived up to it. I was worried that I was going to look so forward to it that it would disappoint, but it did not disappoint at all. I was brought to tears, well, once, but like still, and it was so like genuine and real. It was so good. It was so good. Those are my overall thoughts on it. I'm going to break it down a little bit, but I'm just so, I really, really wish that The Golden Bachelor would be on for 2 hours and Bachelor in Paradise would be one. Really, really do. Not that I did enjoy Bachelor in Paradise, but it's a little bit of the same. New people makes it new, but I just think that I would have much rather watched 2 hours of The Golden Bachelor and only one of Bachelor in Paradise. They could have cut that way shorter. Maybe they will. Maybe they'll get enough people saying that they'll somehow switch it up mid-season. Because, you know, they did say, I mean, I know this is entirely different, but when Charity season started, they went from 8 to 10. Remember that? And everybody, this is Central Time. And everybody was annoyed because they weren't doing 7 to 9 like they always have. But then what was it? Like episode 4 or 5, they switched it and went back to the 7 to 9 time slot. And I know that's completely different. But man, living, I just could watch. I could have watched that all night long. Just loved it. I think it's also so good because, you know, like Gary, whenever he would talk, whether it was in an ITM or to the women, I just felt like I was watching, like he didn't know there was cameras on him and that he didn't like realize he was on a TV show. I felt like he was being 100% himself and genuine, and he wasn't influenced by cameras being on him. He wasn't worried about saying the cliche phrases that everyone says. He did say in his little speech to start off, like after he met all the women and he came in after the limo exits, he did come in and say, like in his little speech to end it, he said, "So let the journey begin," which is obviously like a classic statement that everyone says, but somehow it seemed like not that way. It seemed like he just, when he said it, it just felt like he came up with that on his own. And you know, so like, obviously, I mean, I think he's watched the show because he's kind of said that, but it still just did not feel like it always does before. And the women, like they were, you know, a bit raunchy, which was, I thought hilarious and which I thought was good because also being in an older generation, I'm not 20 something or 30 something, even though I lie and say I am. I am 52. So for me to see these women be able to have like a little bit of raunchy humor, being able to like reference like make sexual sort of type of tongue in cheek jokes, I thought was hilarious because I feel like people think like once you hit 50, you become this old lady with a cane and gray hair and frumpy, wearing frumpy clothes and just there's a stigma. And I was kind of refreshed because I feel like, I know not every woman is going to like swear like Sandra, that was hilarious. Her limo exit where she said she was nervous. So she was going to like take a moment and she put her hands together and then she just said a string of swear words. And she was also in her little reel about herself, said that she likes to use the F word. Like, I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was hilarious because she, like, it seemed like genuine and I kind of like to use the F word and sorry, mom. And, I don't use it a ton, but I do use it for emphasis for sure. But like, you don't turn into a fuddy dud, like prissy good girl just because you age. And I felt like that was definitely showcased with these women, you know, that you can still have fun and like have a personality. Your personality doesn't have to change whether you're 29 or 59 or 79. Like, you can still be the same person. And I loved that. And so that's probably just me speaking from like a generational point of view. Maybe the 20s and 30s something thought it was cringy and thought they were trying too hard to act young. But I feel like they were just being themselves. And I'm glad and I hope that this sort of burst that stigma. I don't know. That was my feelings on it. Like something, what was the one woman who in her limo exit, something, was it about her high heels or something about 6 inches? And she said something about loving 6 inches, or something to that effect. And I don't know. I just thought it was great. I didn't think they were dirty old women or anything like that. I just thought they were showing their personalities and trying to stand out, you know, and Gary was like so receptive to all of it. He was like, he didn't miss a beat when Sandra, when Sandra, you know, did her little meditation thing and strung together the swear words. He didn't miss a beat. He didn't like his eyes didn't go, whoa, or anything. Then he did it himself. I just thought it was amazing. He was so fluid with it all. He just went with it all. He laughed at it all. And he also speaks with such like wisdom. I feel like every time Gary says something, I like want to take notes because it's going to be something of substance, you know? And like, he truly means it from the heart. And maybe that's the other thing too, is that all of these people, I feel like have life experience. So you talk about like the regular bachelor and bachelorettes where they come in and they're 20 somethings, like typically 30 to 32 is like maximum age. And, you know, they act like, especially when they're like mid 20s and they act like they know they're ready for marriage and they've never felt this way before. You're 25. Like, you've hardly felt this way at all because you're 25. And so these people can like truly speak from like a lifetime of experience and a lifetime of experiences. And so when they say something, it's like you have to take it differently because they truly are speaking like from like reaching in their past and have experienced so many more years and events and probably tragedies and traumas, but also so many different levels of happinesses that when they talk, it's like I took them more seriously because of that. And same for Gary. Like I guess we could just start breaking it down, but I just wanted to, like, these were the main takeaways I had. I had, you know, there's opinions about some of the women, everything, but also their camaraderie. between them. There was no cattiness to start off with. I didn't feel like that, you know, sometimes you feel like the cattiness comes from, okay, I know there's cameras on me and I know I want to get some airtime and I know that, you know, I am not actually secure in myself. So therefore I want to bring somebody else down so that I can put myself above that person. And at least so far, and I hope it stays that way, but there was none of that. Like, they were complimenting each other's earrings and their hair and their dresses. And there were several comments made about, there was even one comment about how this wasn't just about Gary. Like, it was about all these women coming together of these ages, of this age generation, and doing this together. And like, it was so true. So I feel like all of these women are so comfortable in their skin because, again, of the life experiences and 100% knowing who they are. And they've already all gone through their careers. And, you know, some have had multiple marriages, some have had, you know, deaths, and all of these things that have made their appearances on the show just be completely genuine and not about anything else except like the game, so to speak, and trying to win Gary's heart. You know, I'm sure there's a few of them that maybe care about Instagram followers, but do they really? Because, you know, so often you think like the younger generations caring about the Instagram and becoming social media famous so that they can maybe make a career out of that. Well, and earn a lot of money out of that. Well, now these women have already had their careers. They probably already are established, obviously. I mean, that most of them are retired. So they don't even need that part of it. They truly want to find someone to live out their lives with. And I just is a whole new perspective. I feel like I'm rambling, but I'm so, so excited about this show that I just can't even tell you. I really want it to be on for 2 hours. I really, really do. It's so good. Mom, you have to watch it. I know you're listening. You have to watch it. It's so, so cute. And it's only an hour. For your sake, you will like this, Mom, because it's only an hour from 7 to 8. And I just think it's so adorable. So anyway, that's just my own private mention to my mother, because she was like, oh, I don't know if I can watch this. And, you know, not having time, but you do. You gotta make time, Mom. If I make time, you can make time. All right. So, all right, I'm gonna go ahead and break this down and point out some other things that I just thought were amazing. So the thing that also stood out to me was that how this started out. So the whole show started out so differently. Like, it came on with this like drone view of the city. I just had two cups of coffee. I'm recording this on Sunday morning. So, it starts out with no music at all, an overview of the city, and it shows Gary buttoning a shirt and then picking up this hearing aid off of the, nightstand and putting it on. And like, I don't know, even just that was like such a, like a, somehow an impactful scene, because it didn't start out with your normal, just like random, like music, like Disney music playing in the background or something. It was just like silent, which made it more impactful. And, but then they started, when they did start playing the music, there were words to it. Now, Love is Blind, I want to point this out. So Love is Blind, it feels like that this is a very minor nuance that most people probably don't even notice. But I feel like that is something that is fresh with shows. So Love is Blind came out, and the music that plays in the background is very often has word with lyrics. So there's someone singing, you know, it's not just like music playing in the background. And The Bachelor's never done that. They have never done that. It's always just been like the music playing, no words, just music. And for the first time, they put music with words to it, to his sort of intro package. And I don't know. There was something about it, something about the words to the song matching sort of what he is talking about and going through and all of that, that just puts the whole show up a level. I can tell that this is a different set of people producing this completely. Like, it just seemed like an entirely new show, irregardless of the ages of these people. The whole presentation of it was different. And I loved that too. They show him with like a picture of his wife on the shelf as he's getting ready and he looks at her. He once again talks about like their past and what happened. And just as a refresher to anyone who doesn't remember, he and his wife were married for, I don't even remember now. Was it 43 years? But they were retired on June 6th of 2017. They closed on their dream house. On July 7th, she became ill and he took her to the ER. She ended up having a bacterial infection that she never recovered from. She never left the hospital after he took her to the ER, and she died on July 15th. And when he told this story, he cried, and I cried too. Like, and it was a real cry. It wasn't like I'm forcing myself to cry. It was like so touching, and you just wanted to give him a big old hug. Like, oh my gosh. He's also clear to say that no one will ever replace Tony. Tony's his wife. And I love that. He's basically saying no one can replace her. That's not what this is about. This is just about finding another person that I want to spend time with, that I want to have fun with for the, you know, the remainder of my life. And again, the music playing in the background just like complements this whole scene so well. And so anyway, that's how the first segment was. The first segment ends with him arriving at the mansion in his limo and Jesse saying, him coming out and Jesse asking him how he's feeling. And he says, I'm a little nervous. And Jesse says, what's making you nervous? And I was like, Jesse, you just ruined this whole amazing, perfect first segment by saying, why are you nervous? Oh, I don't know. I have no idea why I'm nervous. I shouldn't be nervous. I'm on national TV about to meet 30 women. I don't know. I have no idea why I'm nervous. You're right. Like, okay, need to ask better questions. All right, so segment two was all the women coming out. Obviously, they sped this whole show along, because it was only going to be on an hour. I would have liked to see a little bit more, because they went through, like, I don't know, maybe a third of the women got extended limo exit footage shown. There's also obviously a lot, and I like this change. They did this also with Charity, where they used to have a whole segment where they went through and showcased different people that were contestants, players that were going to be on, and showed them like in their hometown and put little reels about them, what they do, blah, 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 blah. And then later they did the limo exits. For me, this new way they do it is so much more effective, because you aren't like, oh wait, is this person coming out of the exit? That one that's the nurse in Houston or whatever. They show them coming out of the limo, making their approach, and then they go and cut to their little reel showing who they are, what they do, and then they cut back and have their interaction with Gary. And so it's like an immediate getting to know who they are, remembering who they are. It's so much makes so much more sense, like chronologically, to do it this way to get to know the people better. So anyway, they do that with about a third of the people. I would have liked to see that on more of them, but they couldn't because it's only an hour. So again, producers, if you're listening, do that. So Edith is first. Edith is 60. She brings a little confetti gun. Ellen is 71. She gets the first hometown reel. Like, I'm going to go through these. I'm going based off my notes, and I can't picture all of them. Again, just like normal, I will have to take my time in remembering who they all are and the names and all of that. But I think it's going to be easier this time just because it is. Then Sandra is next. She's 75. And she's the one that does the meditation and takes the breaths and swears. She gets the hometown thing too. I swear she looks my age. She looks amazing. Next is Leslie. She's 64. She's from Minnesota. She's a fitness instructor. She dated Prince. Gary tells her she's a sweet talker because she told him he could dance well. And like, it was just the cutest thing. The way he says it, like she's like, can you dance? Do you like to dance? And he's like, well, I like to dance, but I can't dance very well. And so she's like, oh, I don't believe that. And so they do this like little, like just quick little short, like twirly thing. And she's like, you're a great dancer. And he's like, oh, you're such a sweet talker. It's just so cute. Then there is, wait, was she the one also that came out with the walker and then like threw her wig to the side and he said, do you need help? And then she throws that stuff to the side and says, do I look like I need help? And whips off the wig. I think that was her. I think that was Leslie. Then it goes through it really quick. We get Marina 60, Christina 73, Joan is 60, Natasha. Oh, did you notice that too? They didn't, when they put up their chyrons, they didn't put their, like, usually it's their name, their age, and where they're from and what they do for a living. And they didn't do either of those. All I did was put their name and their age, and that's it. And I don't know, I kind of like that too. So Natasha 60, Peggy 69, Pamela 75, Kathy is 70, Nancy 60. Okay, we just saw little clips of these. Then we see Teresa, she is 70. She comes up and says it's her birthday and says, so I was something about arriving in her birthday suit. So she acts like she's, you know, or she didn't act like, she starts taking off her dress. And Gary like looks and is like, whoa. And they cut to commercial, of course. So like, that's the kind of cliffhanger we get on Golden Bachelor, which is amazing because it's a 70-year-old woman taking off her clothes. So it's not cringy, people. It's not. It's cute and it's funny. And like, why can't she be 70 and have some humor about it? Because we know when she comes back, she actually has on this like nude colored, like slip dress thing or whatever. And it's just funny and it's cute. She can do that. Like, oh my God, I just thought it was the cutest thing. So anyway, they do this little peck, like this little peck kiss. Then there was April 65. She says she's eccentric, loves chickens. When she came out with a thing of eggs, like a basket of eggs. And she says, tells him that her eggs are still fresh. I thought it was so funny. And then, but then she balks like a chicken and shakes her ass and then slaps her own ass. That was a little cringy. That was a little cringy, but you know, I guess remains to be seen if that's really like her personality. Very well could be, you know, and I'm not judging. I could see that could be a little cringy. I'll give you that, but still thought it was funny. Renee is 67. She's the one that like dressed in like a sweatsuit and does this cheer for him where she's like, she does, I won't be able to repeat it. I should have typed it out, but it was like something like, I don't know. I love Gary. You are so nice. Or I don't know. This is totally not it. But then she was like, I wish you a lot of luck and I hope that we get to get married. Again. Funny, cute. These women have personality for sure. Okay, so then we get Maria 60, Anna 61, Susan is 66. She's the one that says something about she's really comfortable with 6 inches. Patty is 70. Patty is Matt James's mom. As we know, she gets eliminated the first night. That kind of shocked me. I thought for sure, just because she's Matt James's mom, the producers would make her stay. But I guess not. Sylvia 64, Genius 65, Chippy. Okay, this whole Chippy thing was weird. I don't understand why they stuck that in there. I heard a theory that since it was Jimmy Kimmel's aunt, that was somehow a plug for Jimmy Kimmel that ABC requested to be in the show. That's just a theory. Don't know that that's true at all, but it feels like that has to be true because it was so random. I mean, obviously she was not, she's not an original. She's not originally, she is not one of the original women. They just added her in there for, I don't know what for. Because it would have been different if, like, periodically through the hour, they would show her doing something corny or funny or silly, but we didn't see her again until the very, very end in the tag at the end. And so it was pointless. I don't know why they added this. It was just weird. Then lastly, they have Faith, who is 61. She arrives on a motorcycle, and, you know, takes her helmet off and whips her hair around and flips her hair around because she's, like, you know, hot. But then they show this little clip of the women, and they're talking about how they are really raising the bar. Well, how Faith raised the bar, but then they are talking about how each other are such a force. Like, they weren't at all threatened by Faith. They all just thought it was great that she did what she did and arrive in a motorcycle. Whereas on the regular Bachelor, there would have been someone that would have been shit talking her because they were thought that she was, like, showing off or trying to upstage everybody, which she was, but these women appreciated it. They didn't criticize her for it. Okay. So then, he comes in, and this is, you know, he gives this little speech, but this is where he says, let the journey begin. But he calls all these women, I think, like, beautiful, poised, intellectual. Like, he uses adjectives that are not canned, not typical Bachelor adjectives. I just want to give him a big fat hug. He is so cute. He and April talk first. She has made a calendar for him, but every month is April, which I thought was very creative. She gives him a peck. It's not a kiss. I don't think you'd consider it a kiss, but it was a little peck. Ellen has a friend with cancer. And apparently the friend has died because at the end they dedicated the whole season to, what was her name? I forget. But anyway, Natasha and he talk and, like, really laugh genuinely together. They did some kind of, like, funny thing where she's like, okay, I want you to repeat after me. And then she says a phrase and laughs real hard, real fake. And then he did the same thing, which just made me laugh because it was very funny. And it was, like, I don't know, just such cute interactions. Then I don't know, I guess I don't necessarily need to go all these. I'm just looking over my notes to see if there's anything in particular that really stood out. I made a note that there's just no awkwardness. It just feels like he is totally meant for this. It feels like he's done this 100 times before. It's like he knows what to do. It's like he just knows how to interact with all these women. How would you know how to do that? He doesn't, like, feel uncomfortable. None of them do. They all just know how to make, like, normal conversation. It doesn't seem like fluffy, superficial conversation. It seems like real conversation. But then this part that I thought was the most fun was, it was, I think, Leslie, the one that came in on with the walker thing. And she, again, they have a fun talk, and then she talks about dancing again. So he gets up and she was like, let's dance. And there was some music playing. And so they kind of start dancing, not slow, but like a faster dance, and he was the cutest dancer. But then the other women hear the dancing, and instead of being like, what are they doing, they come in, and all of a sudden it's this big dance party and they're all dancing, and it's not cringy. I want to be there. I want to be dancing with them because it looks like fun, because they're just dancing with each other and laughing and having fun, and the dancing is actually pretty good. Love this part. And that's how it ends. They just ends with them all having a good time together in the mansion. It was just amazing. Okay. Cutting away, because I'm about to my 30 minutes. I will be right back. Okay. We are back. All right. So, okay. So the next segment is kind of where you have a little clip of all these women complimenting each other on their outfits, on their earrings. They're just, like, getting along, having a good time. Jesse walks in with a first impression rose. And so there's that. So they're still going to do that. Then Gary's talking to Teresa, and she's the one whose birthday it was. And this was the first, like, I could totally see where a younger generation is going to think this is cringy, but I mean, like, do you not, I mean, you still have to have intimacy when you're older. That doesn't go away. It might be lessened, but it doesn't go away. They still have sex drives. They still want to have the intimacy part. Okay. So he's like, I have something for you. So he leaves and he comes back, and it's a little cupcake with like icing on it. And it has seven, she's turning 70. And so there's a little 70, number 70 on top of the cupcake. And she was like, go ahead and, you know, take the first bite. So he's like, well, if I get a lot on my mouth, would you help me with that? Meaning the icing. And she was like, absolutely. So he does, and he gets icing on his lips. And so then they kiss. And like, this was like a kiss. This wasn't a little peck. And she gets the icing off of his lips, but it wasn't gross. They didn't also zoom up to within like half an inch of their faces when they kissed either, like they have in the past. And it was just like a kiss. It was a kiss between two adults. Like, it was just it was cute though. I loved it. So then he goes and he gets the first impression rose, and he finds Faith, and he gives the rose to Faith, who is the one who rode in on the motorcycle and the one who played the guitar. I think I skipped that part, but she plays the guitar for him and sings him a song. And she gets the first impression rose because she made him feel special. And he said, "Not, it wasn't because you rode in on the motorcycle or sang me a song. It was just because you made me feel special." So they kiss and she cries in her ITM. So then we have the rose ceremony. Again, when he comes in and he delivers his little speech, it again just seems so much more relatable, and it seems so much more like just a real speech that he came up with. Okay. So he gives him the rose to these people in this order. So Ellen is first. So she gets the first, well, besides the first impression rose going to Faith, but Ellen gets the first ceremony rose, which we know is usually significant in the other Bachelor franchises, but who knows with this one. So it's Ellen, then Teresa, then Joan, then Natasha, then Leslie, then Christina, then Edith, Nancy, April, Sandra, Jeannie, Kathy, Marina, Peggy, and Susan. So this is where Patty, Matt James's mom, goes home. 16, that makes 16 women that are going on to next week. We then have another cute part where we get previews for this season. And the thing I noticed, and this isn't to say it's not going to happen to some level, they play the previews to Don't Stop Believing by Journey, right? Don't stop believing. Hold up to that feeling. You're welcome. So they're playing that during his previews, which I think, again, is a total change. They've never used a song that they had to get permission for and probably pay someone to use. But they play that, and it makes you just be like, yeah, like you just sort of want to just like cheer for Gary because the song is playing. It's just like a whole different feel. So it all seems good, but then you definitely get to the segment where there's lots of tears. Gary even says something like, second to my wife's death, I think this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. But it doesn't look like there's drama among the women. Like, I don't recall any clip showing like women arguing about anything. It more seems like it might be between Gary and the women for whatever reason. But I don't know. I'm just so excited. Can't wait till Thursday. Again, just wish it was 2 hours. So, then we get the tag, which is the stupid thing of Chippy sleeping and Jesse walking up to her and asking, she's like, oh, I missed the rose ceremony. She's like, do I even get a petal? And he said, no, it's over. And she's like, maybe I can take the couch home. And he laughs. I mean, it was so dumb, so stupid. I don't know why they put this in there, but I do love the Golden Bachelor. Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. So that's the end. This is the end of my Golden Bachelor recap. I'm now jumping to Bachelor in Paradise recap, straight into it. This is how I'm going to do it, unless I feel like it becomes problematic and I need to do two separate episodes. But for now, this is what I'm going to do. And to be honest, I don't plan to spend much more time on Bachelor in Paradise, even though it's double the time, because there's too much in between stuff that doesn't matter. Okay. So here we go. Bachelor in Paradise. I have to say, the first segment, I was pleasantly surprised. I thought after the first segment that maybe Bachelor in Paradise would be super fresh and have a different twist on things too. The reason I felt like that for the first segment is because they changed it up a little bit. I thought it was funny. Now, I listened to a podcast where it occurred to me, this did not occur to me till I had this listened to this other podcast. So the whole first like set of intro, it started out with intro music. That is the song, What a Feeling, from the movie Flashdance, which was in the 80s. Yes, I know that. But I thought everyone would still know the song because everyone knows Don't Stop Believing. That's also a song from the 80s. If you haven't heard what a feeling, da 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 da, here's believing. I know I'm a great singer. It's great, but you know the song, right? Doesn't everyone know the song? I guess I took it for granted that everyone would know that song and that Flashdance is one of those classic movies, kind of like Top Gun. Maybe it's not Top Gun level, but I just figured everyone knew Flashdance. Apparently they don't. And apparently this whole segment was lost on a whole chunk of people, younger people. And maybe that's true, but I'm thinking that possibly what the producers were thinking is, like, I didn't think of this at the time because I was just like, oh, this is great. Flashdance reference. What a feeling. Let me say this first. So they're playing this song and they're showing all like the first sand people like doing like funny little things, getting ready to go to the beach, you know, like whatever, packing or walking with their suitcase down the sidewalk and stuff like that. But then it was like exaggerated. So it was supposed to be like they were in on the joke, but they were doing like dumb, silly things, but like dancing to this song. And then there was this clip of this guy who was like running in place. Okay. And I knew right away, they just showed his feet running in place. If you don't know Flashdance, then you wouldn't know that reference, which I didn't even like think of that no one would get that because I totally got it. And then they show him like reaching into the chair and water coming down on him. And the podcast I was listening to, like the girl was like, she said when I first saw that, I was like, is he doing an ice bucket challenge? Which I thought was hilarious. Cause she was like, I even thought, God, ice bucket challenge, that's kind of old. That's been several years ago. And like, it didn't occur to me that no one would get that. But in the movie Flashdance, it's an iconic scene. Like Google it if you don't know it. But it's an iconic scene where, so the premise of that movie is that there's this woman who's like, I don't know, a steel worker or some damn thing. And she's like training to be a dancer, but it's been so long since I've watched the movie, but she likes training to dance. And during this segment, they play What a Feeling. And in the segment, she's in a dance studio. And don't ask me how there's a bucket of water above her, but I guess she's in a studio. I don't really remember where she is, but she leans back on a chair. There's a rope that she pulls that makes a bucket fall on her and the water falls all over. And then she's dancing wet. Okay. Like wet t-shirt contest kind of thing. But that's what it was referenced to. But that scene is so iconic. Again, I just thought everyone knew that, but apparently not. So if you didn't get that whole thing, you didn't know that song, that's what that was supposed to be referencing. I 1000% appreciated it and thought, oh my God, this is such a funny, fun segment. And it also was tongue in cheek. So like they were making it kind of seem silly, but I mean, I feel like they were in on the joke, you know? But my thinking is maybe because they are thinking it's a little bit possibly of an like an older generation is tuning in for the Golden Bachelor, that maybe they don't watch a lot of the other Bachelor stuff, especially Bachelor in Paradise, but maybe they're staying tuned. Whatever. They're tuning in also for Bachelor in Paradise, that if they use an older reference song that an older generation will know and appreciate, an older generation's going to be like, oh, this is fun. I know this song. I remember this movie. So like, maybe that's what they were going for. But apparently they lost a bunch of younger people on that one. And I just found that comical that that was a thing. Anyway, so that was all fun and cute to me. I enjoyed that a lot. And then they started off with Rachel Recchia, the Bachelorette. We all know her. She is basically first sand. And they start with her where they have like this B-roll of her like gazing into a rose, you know? And then all of a sudden she looks up and she's like, oh, I just do that sometimes now. And she throws the rose and walks on. I thought this was funny too. I didn't think it was corny. I know it makes her seem like whatever, but I feel like they did all this because they're almost like making fun of themselves, because they always show all this corny B-roll of them staring off into the ocean or staring into a rose or writing in their journal and all this corny shit. And so they started off with that to like make fun of themselves. And then they're like, oh, we realize we're doing this. And then she was like, oh, I just do that sometimes. So I thought that was funny too. She talks about with loving to see Brayden there. Okay. So then that starts off this whole like segment of like them basically introducing all the people that are going to be on the sand. Okay. So won't go through all of those, but the one thing I do want to, because we're going to go through them here as they come down the sand, I mean, come down onto the beach. So hang on, let me look what time it is. Oh, we're plenty of time. So the one thing I do want to point out that I also in this segment thought was a nice change of pace is my whole pet peeve about how The Bachelor does not like to acknowledge Instagram or social media or anything. We all remember Brendan and what's her face when they talked about Instagram and followers on like two seasons ago of Bachelor in Paradise, and they got reamed hard, lost followers because of it. Like they got so villainized because of that. And I've obviously talked about how I don't understand how come The Bachelor doesn't like welcome the whole social media aspect of being on a reality show, because it's completely a part of it. Every other dating relationship show now acknowledges it and uses it in the show. Finally, in this season, when they showed Kylie, who was on Zach's season, she talks about being interested in Avon and hoping Avon is going to be there. And she actually talks about her Instagram and how Avon was liking all of her photos. And then they were like putting these little emojis on the screen, like heart emojis, which represented him liking her photos. And then she said, so she started purposely posting stuff to see if he would like it. Like she was, this whole verbiage was happening about her posting and about Instagram and him liking it. Like, all of this, you know, terminology, Instagram. And then she says, and one time he even commented a fire emoji, and which like the whole conversation period made me laugh, because like she's basing her whole like impression of her on him liking her photos and hers. Like, I can promise you that the women of Golden Bachelor would never be, these words would never be uttered out of their mouth ever, 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 which is funny to me. But that's her basing that he put a fire emoji on her post. So she's like into him because of that. But anyway, they talked about Instagram. They included it in the show. They were acknowledging it, that it's a part of this. And they are also acknowledging that they're no longer trying to act like these people have not communicated with each other in the past. Like this is all new to them. Like they're showing there's interaction ahead of time. So that was like great to me. Another reason why I really liked the beginning of this. It's like they're, one, making fun of themselves. Two, they're also like doing things they haven't done before. So we get like Aaron B. We get Mercedes, who's from Zach's season. We get Sean from this past season of Charity. They're all saying who they're like into, who they hope is there. We get Jess from Zach's season. We get Will, who I didn't recognize at first, but he is the jacket guy from Michelle's season whose jacket got thrown in the pool. I do remember that, but even in Michelle's season, besides that jacket footage, he did not get much screen time then. Well, he sure is now. We get Brooklyn from Zach's season. We get Kat from Zach's season. And then we get Blake, who, as we know, was Katie's ring winner on Katie Thurston's season, but then they broke up. But he was before that on Claire and Tayshia's season. Okay, so we have that. So we get first sand is Rachel. Aaron B comes down next. Brooklyn comes down next. They kind of have this funny scene with Brooklyn, how she's doing her ITMs, but like an earring would fall out. And she'd be like, was that my earring? This is the kind of stuff that I like on Bachelor in Paradise, that they leave like these like bloopers, so to speak, in the document, in the show. Like those are like just those little things that I like about Bachelor in Paradise versus like The Bachelor, because it's, again, them more humor comes out, I guess. Then we have Kat coming out. Brooklyn always is making fun of Kat for like that she's never happy and she doesn't like the sand, and she's always kind of mocking her with, she always puts her paws like up like that she's a cat, and she's like, ew, bugs, ew, there's sand, ew, I don't like this, oh my god, it's so hot. That's Brooklyn like mocking Kat. Then we get Sean come down, we get Will come down next, then we get Kylie, and then we get Brayden, which is, of course, he's got his earrings, and Jesse greets him when he comes down, and Jesse's actually wearing a scarf, which I thought was quite funny too. So I guess from here on out, I guess I'll just mention these things as we go along. I don't know. It's always hard to recap Bachelor in Paradise because it's jumping around between relationships so much. So, I don't know if I should go in order, or I don't know. I guess I'll play it by show. So they're still coming down. I'll say, okay, so Brayden pulls Kylie. This pisses Aaron off because he kind of was into Kylie. Eliza comes down next. She was on last year, Bachelor in Paradise. She was the one that went between Rodney and Justin back and forth. I think she's gorgeous, but she's the one that cried a lot, like a lot. And it's like the prettiest crier ever also. Greer is next, then Mercedes, then Aaron S. I don't know. I'm not into him that much. We have the other pilot, Pete, that got very, very little airtime because I think he was actually a night one-er. They have a vibe count going on at the bottom of the screen, which I kind of thought was a little bit humorous because Sean keeps using the word this like vibe, like, oh, I really like his vibe. The vibe down here is great. I love the vibe of this beach, like whatever. That was kind of funny. So then we get Sam from Clayton season, who went home night one, didn't remember her at all. I didn't remember at all. Olivia from Zach season, I didn't remember her at all either, but she's definitely getting screen time. I think that Olivia was a night one-er as well on Zach season, but she's definitely making her impression here. Will and Olivia have an immediate connection, or so we think. They make out like right away, and they start talking about, Olivia starts talking about sucking Will's toes. And she goes into the water, they go into the water, come back. Now her toes are clean. And they have this whole conversation about him sucking her toes. Like she went full force right in. I think it might be to get screen time, but it's working. Jess comes down. They have this little like aura around her, like this filter that's where it looks like she's got all in body glitter. Because if you remember, she got all this attention for having body glitter on her all the time on Zach season. I had forgotten about that, but so Sean then talks about following Jess on Instagram, but not really knowing her. So again, I made a note here that they're even referencing Instagram, which again, I like. Then we have Blake come down and all the girls are like ogling over him. Jesse then, they're all down there. So Jesse calls them all together and gives them their, you know, like, here we go. This is kind of where like the traditional Bachelor Paradise starts hardcore, where Jesse gives them the little speech about how true love can work here. And he gives examples of all the people that have come out and are married and having children and everything that have come off Bachelor in Paradise. They show Blake having an ITM, but his Chiron says only dates bachelorettes, which I thought was funny. So then we get Kylie, they have like a girl talk, and we find out that both Kylie and Olivia are into Will. Ironically, Kylie gets a date card and she like knows that Olivia and Will kissed. So she's like, they make it look like she doesn't know for sure who she's going to ask, but she really does want to ask Will because she's most interested in him now because Avon's not there yet. We know what's going to happen, don't we? Yes, we do. Avon, yeah, we know. So she's like, should I ask him? So they go to commercial. That's supposed to be our big cliffhanger. Ooh, I can't wait to find out what's going to happen. Like, I don't know. Yes, she asks Will. He says yes. Of course, this pisses Olivia off. And I like Olivia. I feel like she's a little over the top extra. Like she really threw a fit over this. This is really, to me, the thing that happened that took up the most time on this show. But basically it came down to that Olivia got pissed off because they like had this whole toe sucking conversation, I guess, and like full on made out after like 15 seconds together. So she's pissed off that he is going with Kylie. So later in the show, after they get back from their date, which is that night, so it's like the next day, her and Will have this conversation and she's totally pissed and says it would have been the respectful thing to do to at least talk to her before he left on the date and say, hey, I had a good time with you, but I'd really like to do this date. I don't argue that that would be probably the nice thing to do, but give me a break. You spent like probably a total of 13 minutes together. I mean, he doesn't really owe you anything. He just met you and, you know, you're the one that started the conversation about sucking toes. So I guess now you're feeling stupid because you did that and he didn't maybe like it too much. I don't know. I can't decide whose side I'm on here because I think that they both are taking it to the extreme. I think it wouldn't have been hard for him to just say, hey, look, I actually made out with her. Let me just pull her aside. That would have been a very easy, kind, gentlemanly kind of thing to do. But I also think she is like being way too overdramatic about being pissed off about this. Whatever. I don't know. And she's also pissed off at Kylie. And I don't know why she has to be pissed off at Kylie. I mean, that's what the show is about like getting to find someone that you like. She was into him. So she asked him on a date. Like, why are you mad at her? So like part of me likes Olivia. I kind of like her feistiness, but she just seems to like be trying too hard to cause drama. And we just came off of a Golden Bachelor that there was no drama. It was just nice. And then it was reminded to me how like the drama is so pushed on this show, you know? So anyway, and of course, Will and Kylie totally hit it off on their date. There was this funny part about like their table was in the middle of this pool, like a swimming pool, and they had to like walk on this little catwalk thing to get to the table, you know, and like he like was going to try to pull her chair out and he slips off the catwalk and falls into the water, which is like super ironic because his jacket was the one that got thrown in the water. So he has a bit of trouble with swimming pools. But anyway, so, and Kylie seems aware that she's kind of going to be starting drama and seems like she doesn't want to be starting drama. Although again, in this instance, she probably could have just to avoid the drama, like probably one of the Golden Bachelor women would have done this. They would have been like, hey, Olivia, we're both 70 years old. Like, I would like to take him on a date. Are you okay with that? And then Kylie or whoever would have been like, yeah, that's fine. By the way, I love your earrings. Like, that's how the conversation would have gone on The Golden Bachelor. But that's not how it goes. That's not how it gets played out here. Instead, no one talks to each other. There's no communication. There's no just putting it out on the table. Like, it's just, you know, let's just get mad at each other and pissed off and not talk to each other. Let's see. So then we also have Brayden and Kat talking, and then they kiss, and there's like this Disney music playing in the background. So I'm thinking, I don't know, they'll have a thing. Rachel and Sean kiss. Rachel and Sean. That's right. I forgot about that. I'm sorry. I'm just reading my notes. So Rachel and Sean kiss. Blake and Jess seem to be together. They don't show a lot of these people. They just show glimpses of them really getting along well. Sam, the girl we don't know, and Aaron S., who I don't really care about either. So they're going to, whatever. They show them together. Mercedes and Aaron B. And we have, they keep flashing back to Kylie and Will's date. And he keeps like talking about how he's totally into her. He can see himself with her. They're just really jumping in. This is what I'm talking about. So when they're like this age, they spend 20 minutes with them and they're like, oh my God, I can totally see myself marrying her. And like, oh my gosh, she's like so amazing. I've never felt this way before. Maybe he's never felt this way before because he's literally never felt that way before because he's like 25 and he's literally never felt that way before because he's only 25. Whatever. So I don't know if he's 25. He might be 30, but either way, it just cracks me up. So then it's the next day. This is when Will and Olivia have the talk about no respect and they get pissed off at each other and whatever. She calls Kylie a snake. It's just too aggressive. I don't even want to give it that much attention because it was just really Bachelor in Paradise typical drama. And that's it. That was pretty much the show. Sorry. That wasn't the show. So we get Kylie. So they're talking about this and Kylie's talking about how much fun she had, blah, 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 blah. You know what? Hang on a second. I'm about to run out of my 30 minutes. I won't go much over, but I don't want to run out of time and cut this too short. So I'll be right back. Okay. All right. So we have Olivia talking about how Kylie's a snake, and she's saying that because, well, first of all, I think that's a very aggressive way of describing her, but she's saying we all know what's going to happen, and she's right, because apparently Kylie has been openly talking before her and Will went on the date, been talking about how she was looking forward to seeing Avon down there, and we know that because of the whole Instagram fire emoji thing. And so Olivia says that, you know, we all know what's going to happen. As soon as Avon gets here, she's going to dump Will and be with Avon. And obviously we know that's true. And then also obviously we know exactly what's going to happen next because they are showing some feet walking down the stairs as to who's on the sand next. And yes, you are correct. It is Avon. And so if you don't remember, Avon is from Rachel and Gabby's season. He was super cute. I think he got really far to the end. I honestly forget with which girl, but anyway, he gets down there and he gets a date card from Jesse when he comes down the steps. So obviously the drama is going to continue with this set of people right here. Doesn't feel like there's a whole ton of drama with other people yet. Sure, it's coming, but the main focus is going to be on this set of couples, probably the next show too. But yeah, that's it. Wow, I'm impressed. I barely went over an hour. I thought this was going to be like a 2-hour recap. It's not, probably because, again, like there's so much filler stuff in Bachelor in Paradise that it doesn't have to be that long of a recap because actually, in essence, not that much happens. So I would love to hear your thoughts on the seasons. So if you listen to the podcast, jump on to my Instagram. Let me know what you think. DM me. Let me know what you think of these seasons. Let me know, recap wise, would you like to hear more of one or the other? Like, is this the right combination? Try not to overload everybody. I'd love to hear your input. But I would also love to increase my listenership. So to do that, if you could go give me a 5-star rating, if you could go write me a cute little review, whatever platform you're listening on, hit follow, hit notifications, hit subscribe, whatever you have to hit to promote my podcast, tell people about it. I would very much appreciate it. I am releasing this. Let's see. What did I tell you all? I'm going to go ahead and release it on, you know what? I can just release it on Monday. I think I told everybody I'm going to release it on Tuesdays, but since I already recorded it, then why not release it on Monday, right? Then you have the whole week to listen to it and it's a quicker comeback for you. You don't have to wait another day. So I'm releasing this on Monday, but you know that already because when you're listening to this, it is Monday already. So I am rambling. But anyway, have a great week. I am going to end, as I always do, with a Bible verse, which I am going to look for right now in my Bible app. Let me see. I'm going to randomly scroll. Stop. Okay. This is Romans 15, verse 5, and it is, "May God, who gives this patient and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for the followers of Jesus Christ." So hope you all have a great week. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.